The snow that had begun falling the day before and deposited about 2 feet over much of New England had just stopped. She might not have noticed but for the screeching sound of the wipers swinging back and forth across the newly dry windshield. John turned them off. The streets were plowed, but theirs was the only car on the road. Alice had always liked the serene quiet and stillness that followed a walloping snowstorm, but today it unnerved her. John drove the car into the Mount Auburn Cemetery lot. A modest space for parking had been shoveled out, but the cemetery itself, the walking paths and gravestones, hadn't yet been uncovered. "I was afraid it might still be like this. We'll have to come back another day," he said. "No, wait. Let me just look at it for a minute." The ancient black trees with their knuckled varicose branches, frosted and white, ruled this winter wonderland. She could see a few of what were presumably the gray tops of the very tall, elaborate headstones that belonged to the once wealthy and prominent, peeking above the surface of the snow. But that was it. Everything else was buried. Decomposed bodies and coffins buried under dirt and stone buried under snow. Everything was black and white and frozen and dead. "John?"
"What?"
She'd said his name too loudly, breaking the silence too suddenly, startling him. "Nothing. We can go. I don't want to be here."
"We can try going back later in the week if you want," said John.
"Back where?" asked Alice.
"To the cemetery."
"Oh." She sat at the kitchen table. John poured red wine into 2 glasses and gave one to her. She swirled the goblet out of habit. She was regularly forgetting the name of her daughter, the actress one, but she could remember how to swirl her wine glass and that she liked to. Crazy disease. She appreciated the wine's dizzying motion in the glass, its blood-red color, its intense flavors of grape, oak, and earth, and the warmth she felt as it landed in her belly. John stood in front of the open refrigerator door and removed a block of cheese, a lemon, a spicy liquid thing, and a couple of red vegetables. "How do chicken enchiladas sound?" he asked.
"Fine."
He opened the freezer and rummaged inside.
"Do we have any chicken?" he asked.
She didn't answer.
"Oh no, Alice."
He turned to show her something in his hands. It wasn't chicken.
"It's your blackberry. It was in the freezer."
He pressed its buttons, shook it, and rubbed it.
"It looks like it got water in it. We can see after it's thawed, but I think it's dead," he said.
She burst into ready, heartbroken tears.
"It's okay. If it's dead, we'll get you a new one," he said.
"How ridiculous. Why am I this upset over a dead electronic organizer?" Maybe she was really crying over the deaths of her mother, sister, and father. Maybe she was feeling emotion that she'd anticipated earlier but had been unable to express properly at the cemetery. That made more sense. But that wasn't it. Maybe the death of her organizer symbolized the death of her position at Harvard, and she was mourning the recent loss of her career. That also made sense. But what she felt was an inconsolable grief over the death of the BlackBerry itself.